Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus, we commit this morning to you. May our worship be pleasing to your heart, O Lord. Thank you that these candles that we are about to light in honor of those whom we love who have gone before us, thank you that they're not just candles, but they are symbols, pictures of the reality that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Those who are alive in your presence right now, Jesus, those who have run their race, who are cheering us on as we run our races with you, O Lord. May we feel their presence. May we hear their voices today. May we feel your presence. May we hear your voice today, O Lord. Father God, for Bev and for Gary's children and grandchildren, we pray a special prayer of your peace for them, that they would feel your comfort and your nearness in this time of shock and loss. We love Gary. We commit him into your hands. There was a saint that ran a faithful race to the very end, loving you and loving your church. And he's alive in your presence with the other saints this morning, Jesus. For that, we give you thanks. And for our hearts that are grieving, we ask for comfort and hope. Father, for all the anxieties and griefs that we carry into this room this morning, as we begin to sing, we lay them at your feet, knowing that you are a God of hope, and you are a God of joy, and you are a God of peace, and you are a God of love, and you are a God of life. And so would you inject all of that into every soul in this place as we gather here this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be reading from verses 1 to 9 this morning. Shout out. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but we do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with the wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day to humble oneself. Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Would you pray with me? Living God, as we turn to your word, would your spirit move freely in our midst, helping us hear whatever it is that you want us to hear. And so you would help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you, O Lord, want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my good friends here in town, Heidi, she is a retired Presbyterian minister. She and I get together quite often, and one of our most recent times, we were walking together in the park and talking about life and ministry. And I was talking to her about some big things that we have on the horizon here at our church, some risk that we might be taking. And as we finished up our walk, Heidi said, "You know, Jamie," she said, "as I think over my life and my ministry," she said, "this one question tends to haunt me. It comes back to my heart again and again." She said, "I find myself often asking God, all those years of pastoring, of ministering in the church, was I leading a people to just play church, or were we actually being the church? Even when things were hard and risky, did we choose to be the people of God anyway?" I've been thinking about her question for the last month or so. It piggybacks on a question that I've asked in my heart and mind quite often over the last 9 years. And it's this question that I have that says, if our church, Belfair Community Church, if it ceased to exist by 3 o'clock today, if it was just gone, how long would it take our community to notice we were gone? And would they miss us? And what of the kingdom of God wouldn't be here if we weren't here? How are we a people who aren't just coming to church ever so often, but who together are being the church? People committed to being the people of God together in this time, in this place, so that God's kingdom might actually come to this pocket of the world as in heaven. The people in Isaiah 58 are faced with a similar question. The context behind this passage, we find the people of Israel back from exile. And there they are living in Jerusalem, and all the walls are crumbled from the destruction. Their home, and thanks be to God for that, but their home is in major need of repair. Zechariah chapter 7 indicates that the people of Israel fasted together on the 5th and 7th months for 70 years following the destruction of Jerusalem. For 70 years, they came together and they fasted and they prayed, seeking a response from the living God. Their city is in ruins and they are calling out together to God to help them. Their families have trauma to work through and they are calling out to God together for healing. The Babylonians, who caused all of this mess for them, as far as they can tell, they are getting by scot-free. And they are calling out to God for justice. And as far as they can tell, God is mostly silent to their pleas. The people are observing Sabbath. They are worshiping God together every week. They are fasting for 2 months out of the year, showing God that they are dedicated once again to following his law. They are doing the motions, the good motions of being God's people, and they are doing it well. I mean, how many of us have observed Sabbath, been in worship every Sunday for the past year? They're doing this stuff good. How many of us have fasted for 2 months out of the past year? Yeah, me either. Not even for like 2 days. The people of Israel, on the surface, they look like they are serious about being the people of God again. And they're frustrated because in their dedication to God, God is not speaking to them more clearly. Anyone ever felt a little bit like that? Yeah. I am being a good Christian God. I went to Sunday school and big church this week. I tithed even more than 10%. Heck, I volunteered in wiggle time. I am doing all the right things in church, God. So why is my life still a mess outside of church? Why aren't you speaking more clearly to me, God? Why aren't you helping me more quickly? God, what more is it that you need from me for your grace and your mercy and your guidance and your presence to just break through and consume my life? This is their question. And oftentimes, it's my question too, for my own personal life. And even my question for our life together is the church. I'd be like, God, here's all the things that we are doing right, that we are doing well. Here's all the ways that I feel like we're on the right track, but we're on the cusp of something of your presence and your goodness and your power that we haven't tapped into yet, God. God, what is it? What are we missing? What more is it, God, that you want from me, from us as your people? God speaks to Isaiah. He says, blow the trumpet, tell my people this loud and clear. God says, Isaiah, tell them, yes, Israel, you are going through the religious motions just fine. You are doing your worship service. You are taking the fast. That's good. But after you fast, you go out and exploit your workers. You worship, and then you go home and do as you please anyway. You honor God in that place together, and then the second the worship is over, you start quarreling with each other. God says, you're begging me for justice, but all the while, you're not showing justice to the people who are hurting right in front of you. God says, is this the fast that I want? Just a day for my people to play church? To look repentant, just a day to sing some songs and hear some scripture and then go home unchanged by it all? No, no. God says, this is what I want. And my friends, listen in. If you're dozing off, don't doze off right now, because this is where God says, this is what I want. How often do we in our heart of hearts say, God, just tell me clearly what you want? Anyone ever said that recently? Good news, here it is. He says, this is what I want. And he spells it out clear as day. Here is the worship that I want from my people, God says. You ready? To loose the chains of injustice. Untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them, not to turn away from flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you'll call, and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help, and he will say, here I am. Oh, I love it. He says, don't just look like you're my people, God says, but actually be my people. Don't just play church, God says, but actually be my church. How? How? Here's what I want, God says. Write it down. Put it in your heart. Put it into action. Loose the chains of injustice. Set the oppressed free. Feed the hungry. Give the poor wanderer shelter. Clothe the naked. Don't turn the most vulnerable away, but bring them in. Bring them in. That's what the Lord wants. Oh, but that's just a few verses in Isaiah, we say. You can find verses anywhere in the scripture to say anything. We don't need to go and change an entire life, an entire church, based on just a few verses out of Isaiah. And that would be fair, except for the problem is God's heart for his people to care for the most vulnerable people in the world is displayed through the entire scripture story. We just can't deny that this is who God calls us to be. Abraham, the father of our faith, Remember that story when he sees those three strangers passing by with no place to go? And remember what he does? He invites them into his tent and he feeds them the best food he's got to give them. He gives them a place to stay. And unbeknownst to him, these ones are angels from the living God himself. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 picks up on this story and tells the Christian people thousands of years later, says, now don't you neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Don't you neglect to create a space for those to come who are just passing through. Don't you neglect to bring the vulnerable in, for by doing so, by being the church, some have entertained angels unaware. What happens then, just a few chapters later in Sodom, is just the opposite kind of story. There are vulnerable strangers who come to a town, and rather than take them in and protect them, the men of the town want to abuse them. And the city is destroyed, for the people of God have become the oppressors, and God is never going to be okay with that. Ezekiel says this about Sodom. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49 says, now this was the sin of Sodom. Do you know what the sin of Sodom was? Ezekiel says this was it. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned, and they didn't help the poor and the needy. The sin of Sodom. God has told his people what he wants. Care for the most vulnerable. Care for the poor, care for the needy. Sometimes it really is as simple as that. In 1 Kings 17, we find the people of Israel in a time of famine. And Elijah the prophet is sent to go to this small town called Zarephath as a wanderer. And God says, Elijah, there's going to be a widow there and she's going to feed you. And so Elijah finds this lady and he asks her for food and she says, oh, I'm so sorry, but I don't really have any. She said, I'm going home right now and I'm using the last bit of flour and oil that I have to feed me and my son, and then we are going to die. And Elijah says, just try this. I know I'm a stranger. I know you don't know me from Adam, but would you just make me some bread first? And then see if maybe God doesn't preserve the life of you and your son. And she dares to spend her last bit of flour and oil on feeding this hungry stranger. She gives him the last bread that she has to give. And lo and behold, her flour and her oil begin to multiply. And there is food for her and for her son the whole famine long. Caring for a vulnerable traveler who she had no idea was a prophet of God. God cared for her. Yeah, that's all the Old Testament, you say. Jesus came and things changed. Jesus cares more about our church services. We say, really? Really? Jesus' very first sermon, you remember it? In Nazareth, his hometown. We hear it in Luke chapter 4, the first time that Jesus steps up as a rabbi to share what his heart is all about. Do you remember what he preaches? He opens the scroll to Isaiah 61, just a couple chapters after what we've already heard this morning. And he begins to read these words and he says, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus didn't come to make our church services more exciting, though it helps with that, right? Jesus came to bring good news to the poor, to release the captives, to make the blind see, to free the oppressed. to those who have never had a seat at God's table. Jesus came to say, here, take the one next to me. To those who have struggled every single day just to get by, Jesus came to say, here, here's all my people, and they are mine, and they have a home for you. Jesus came to say to those who have lived in the chains of shame and of fear, he came to say, I have come to make sure you know once and for all that you are completely, totally loved, and you belong. Welcome home. Jesus lived as one with no place to lay his head. And passing from town to town, he was always just waiting to see who might take him in. He tells his disciples as he's sending them out in Luke chapter 10, he says, as you go, whatever house dares to welcome you as a stranger in their midst with no place to stay, and says, here, come and stay with us. He says, whoever that is, you share my peace with that house. And one of those houses for him became this beautiful home in Bethany. It was the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We see that any time he is anywhere near Bethany, he makes the extra 3-mile trek to go and to find this home where he was welcome to stay. What started in that home as just 3 people inviting a stranger to come and be with them became over time the deepest friendship between God and flesh and these 3 human beings. Open our doors to the stranger with no place to stay, and we might just be opening our hearts to friendship with Jesus like we have never known before. Jesus gives that parable about the sheep and the goats. I don't like this parable. It makes me nervous. It makes me uneasy. But he gives it to Matthew 25. And he says, in his kingdom, the people will be divided into sheep and into goats, and the sheep will be invited to dwell with him forever. And they ask, who are the sheep? And he says, the sheep are those that when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you cared for me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they say, Jesus, when did we see you in any of these places? You remember his response? Whatever you did for the least of these, you were doing it for me. As Jesus' people care for Jesus' most vulnerable children, we care for Jesus. Make a home for them, Jesus says, and I will have a home ready for you in my kingdom. In Galatians, as the early church is just coming together and they're trying to figure out what really matters as the gospel moves forward into the world, the apostles James and John are meeting with Barnabas and Paul. And Barnabas and Paul are saying, you know, we think that God's telling us to go to the Gentiles. That's never been done before. And they're wrestling with, as they go to the Gentiles, what do they need to make sure they hold on to? What should they not get away from? And they said, okay, here's the deal. We'll bless you as you go to the Gentiles and proclaim the good news of Jesus. But we only ask one thing. He said, they asked us to remember the poor. And Paul says, that's the one thing we were eager to do anyway. Even as the church is forming and transforming, the apostles who had walked with Jesus hand in hand say, please, please just don't forget this. Care for the poor. This was near to Jesus' heart. It's got to be near to our hearts too. Paul says, I would never even think of it. I'm eager to care for them. What does God want? If we ask the question, we should actually want the answer, right? What does God want? He has made it clear for his church to be the church by caring for the most vulnerable children of his any way that we can. And my friends, I've got really good news this morning. Did you come for some good news? Yeah. Cool. Because I've got some good news. Because we have opportunities right in front of us like never before to be the church, to be the people of God. Standing right here in this place next Sunday, we're going to have the director of, what's it called now? They changed New Horizon Housing. And these are folks that provide tiny homes, temporary and permanent housing for the most chronically homeless in our area. And there are no homes like this in Belfair, Allen, Tohoya, North Mason at all. There's a veterans village in Shelton of 10 homes. And this organization has been talking to us and us to them. And they say, you know, we are uniquely situated right here on this main road, on this bus line, at this place, at this time, where we could have 5 pallet homes, temporary homes that lead to more permanent tiny homes, 5 pallet homes for our most vulnerable neighbors who they say will not make it through another 1 or 2 winters out in the woods. They say, but we can open up our space, our land, our property, and say, the most vulnerable among us, come and find shelter, come and find home here. The church has a chance to be the church. We've got this dream of this mobile shower and laundry trailer. And it started as a big dream. We were looking to get $50,000 to purchase the most basic one, 2 hot showers, 1 laundry unit for our most vulnerable neighbors who don't have a chance to just take a warm shower in peace and to have clean clothes for the day. And we are $5,000 away from what was this insurmountable goal just a few months ago. Yeah. To saying, hey, whatever group we're going to go through, sign us up, send that trailer our way. We are ready to be the church for our most vulnerable neighbors who just need the most basic human necessities. We've got right out here in our lawn this 24/7 food pantry. And if you haven't come around to fill it up, you have no idea how quickly the stuff in that pantry goes. We've got vulnerable neighbors who are hungry, who come day after day and just take whatever is still there for them to take. We always could use more stuff to feed our neighbors, our friends. Bring some stuff, put it in there yourself. Winter's coming. If you want to be extra generous, add in sweatshirts, beanies, whatever. Whatever you would do to care for Jesus, put it in that pantry and care for them. As we care for them, we are caring for him. We've got a chance to be a church that has a table with room for everyone. For those who have been told for so long that they do not belong. They're left out because of their lifestyle or poverty or anything else that has made them on the inside feel like they are less than. And we, aligned with the heart of Jesus, are moving toward our calling to be the church, to saying with Jesus to all of God's people, you belong in the love and the grace of God. You have a home in God's arms, and our church is seeking to reflect that reality by saying you have a home here among his people. To those who have been left out in the cold, no shelter from the literal elements or no shelter from this frigid world that tells them they don't belong. May they come to us, a people who are being the church, and find home on our property, and find home in our sanctuary, and find home at our table, and find home in our lives. Because we want to be at home with Jesus, and to be at home with him, we know that we have to be at home with them. Make a home for my most vulnerable children, God says, and I will make a home with you. Then you will cry to me, God says, and I will be eager to say, here I am. For we are a people who are saying this day and every day, God, here I am. Caring for them, God will be eager to care for us. Friends, we get to be the church. I don't know about you, but I'm pumped. I don't want to play church my whole ministry. I want to be the church. And we have a chance to be the church. Let's be the church. What do you say? Yeah, all right. Like five of us are in, and that's all we need. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that while you love our beautiful worship services, while you love our hearts singing out to you together, while you love your people leaning into your word, you really love when we take our worship outside of this place and embrace the most vulnerable among us in your name and with your love. Continue to lead us in these weeks ahead. Give us your wisdom, give us your courage to know what is our faithful work to do as we seek to be your church, your people together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.